go to a graduation last week. And now you know the typical graduation ceremony, the pomp and circumstance. You hear that song 1,900 times and people are passing across the stage. But before they started the actual ceremony, the dean of the school got up and he said, "I have an announcement. This is going to be fruitless, but could you please hold your applause till the end? And please, no cowbells, no whistles. Just hold your applause till the end. I know you're not listening to me, but could you just do that for me?" So believe it or not, people did a pretty good job. And so the A's, the Adams, and the A's started coming across the stage. The B's started coming along, and they got to the D's. And this girl named Jessica stood up, and it was her time to cross the stage. And when they announced her name, on the fourth row, I'll never forget this, the dad stood up, father got up out of his chair, and he said, "That's my daughter." I mean, he yelled, he screamed, "That's my daughter." And everyone laughed and clapped, and they thought that was so cute. But I actually started to tear up because I thought, wow, he is so proud of her. He is so happy, and that's his daughter. And I thought to myself, you know, I wonder if that's how God sees us. That's my son. And I think he does. And so the first essential element is we need to know who we are. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we've memorized that. I'm sure you guys have heard that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So, you know what? I have something for you. I have jumped ahead of myself. I have some handouts. Can somebody help me? You can pass out these. Sorry about that. Let me know if you need more. Any more?
Yeah, we can do
some more back here. Okay. I have a few more here. Good? Okay, sorry about that. I should have done that first. But anyway, the first essential that I'm bringing up here is hold fast to your new identity. And we said that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And so more than a label, your new identity defines who you really are. That daughter who went across the stage, and the father, he knew his daughter, and he yelled from the top of his lungs, "That's my daughter." And what I would have for us is we need to hold fast to who we are. And the Bible declares this identity. In Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live in the body, I live by faith." And the gospel also proclaims that. And I would even suggest to you that Colossians 3 is a wonderful passage for discipleship. And that is, since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on the earth, for you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ. This is who you really are. And I tell you, someone I love, I don't know if you guys ever read C.S. Lewis, but in Mere Christianity, I think C.S. Lewis just captures this absolutely beautiful. He says that we're not just after becoming nicer people. We're not just trying to strive harder and harder. What he says is, for mere improvement is not redemption. Though redemption always improves people, even here and now, and will, in the end, improve them to a degree we cannot yet imagine. God became man to turn creatures into sons, not simply to produce better men of the old kind, but to produce a new kind of man. It's not like teaching a horse to jump better and better, but like turning a horse into a winged creature. We're not just trying to be better people here, although we need to be good people. We're actually living into our new identity, which is Christ in us. And everything must flow from that understanding. So I have four kids. My oldest is 23, my second child is 21, and I have one daughter, she's 18, and I have a son that's 16. You can have my boys, but man, my daughter's really special to me. And when she was 10 years old, she said, "Daddy, I want to learn how to paint." So we hopped in the car, we went to Hobby Lobby, and I started buying up some painting supplies because, man, that's what my little daughter wanted. Right around the corner was Father's Day, and at dinner time, Mom was saying, "Well, Chris, what do you want for Father's Day?" And I said, "Oh, just make me a card. I don't go buy anything. I kind of like it when you guys just get creative and actually draw my cards or paint them or do something like that." And I had shared with my kids this story that C.S. Lewis talked about, that we're actually new creatures in Christ. This isn't for sale. This is my most prized possession. And I have to tell you, I think she got it. This is a winged creature. We're meant to be new creatures in Christ. And what really got me here is this isn't a Picasso. This isn't Michelangelo's work. But she's a much better artist today than she was when she was 10. And it's kind of like these wings. They don't just pop out. It's a process. And the wings begin to grow over time. And my daughter's becoming actually a really accomplished painter. And so our next point here is about growing in Christ. And as leaders must be sure they are always growing. And so the passage I like to pull to really think about growing in Christ is John 15. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Would someone please read that John 15, pull the scriptures out and read 15 verses 4 through 8 for me? Great.
"Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples."
Yeah. "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciple." And so you not only have an identity in Christ, you are a branch on the vine that is Christ. And leaders must be sure they are always growing. The great part about that verse, and we also see it in 2 Peter 3:18, is you are partaking of the spiritual life and vitality that is in him. So this isn't about mustering up the best you, although we should be good versions of ourselves. This is about drawing our nourishment from the vine. You are partaking of this life, and that vitality is in him, and we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. So please hear me loud and clearly. This talk is not about trying harder. This is not about you need to do more. This is about thinking about who am I becoming as a new creature in Christ and growing in Him. One of my favorite stories is about Hobby Lobby. I already brought that up. We went over there and spent a lot of money on paint supplies. But did you know that Hobby Lobby, I met David Green, and he told me that he started the whole company with $600. The company's worth probably $3 billion. I have no idea. It's just off the charts. And I said, $600? Why did you need $600? He said, well, I had to borrow $600 because I was working in a TGNY, and you guys are too young to know what TGNY is, but it's like the first version of a Walmart. And he began taking photos and helping people with frames. And he worked in the back of the shop, and people would bring it in, and he would construct a frame for the people. Over time, he just saw that business going and going, and so he decided, well, I'm going to open up a little shop of my own. He quit working at TGNY. He went into his garage, got a folding table, and people would find out, oh, you're doing it yourself now. So he needed more supplies. He borrowed $600. Next thing you know, people were coming to his garage with all kinds of frames, needing his service. And while they were waiting, he realized, well, I'm going to sell some yarn, and I'm going to sell some things out in the while people are waiting for me to finish my work. And next thing I know, he decided, well, I've grown out of my garage. I'm going to move over into this building. I found one with 1,200 square feet. And then over time, he moved into a 30,000 square feet. I mean, it just grew. And I have to say that, did you know that 95% of businesses fail? Startup businesses. Only 5% of them actually work. And that's because most people try to just go into business. They don't do what David Green did with Hobby Lobby. David Green knew that he had to grow into business. I stole that line from Dr. Spann. Thank you for that. He said down there, he says, we grow into business, we don't go into business. And I think David Green's story is a great example of how he grew. He started, he paid off the $600, he moved to 1,000 square feet, and then he moved into a larger, and now they're one of the largest companies in the world. I think it's a great story of how we grow into business. We don't just go into business. And the reason these only 5% of these businesses even make it is because they just try to go into it, and they want to be big, and they want to do this. Amazon took 20 years before they turned a profit. It took them 20 years. So we're to make every effort to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's okay. We can make effort to do that. Okay? And Dallas Willard has a great saying. He says, God is not opposed to effort. He's opposed to earning. And so God delights in the fact that we're intentional and we're growing in Him. We can set ourselves in a space where we can draw from His life and His nourishment. So part of my time this week, as I was really thinking about this, I thought, well, what are some of the enemies? On the next page there, I asked you to think about two enemies of growing in Christ's likeness. And I'm going to suggest two. One would be pride. Pride is an enemy of growing in Christ's likeness. You know, one of the areas I struggle in is I'm a people pleaser. And I really like to make people happy. And as a dentist, I had patients would come in, and I realized quickly that people really don't like going to the dentist. They don't mind getting their teeth cleaned, but they hate having dental work done. And I went into a profession where people were real happy to come see me, but yet I'm a people pleaser. And so I was constantly trying to make them happy. I couldn't do that. They were not very, I was there to help them. I wasn't there to make them happy. And it quickly in my career, I realized I don't need to be a pleaser of people. I just need to please God with the work that I'm doing. I need to be accountable to Him. I need to set aside the pride that somebody got upset at the way this went or this didn't go well for them. And so as a people pleaser, I realize I'm not going to be a people pleaser. I want to be a value creator. I want to improve lives. And so the alternative to pride, as far as trying to be a people pleaser, is I just want to do what's right under the right conditions at the right time and create value. The second enemy of growth in Christ's likeness is laziness. And to refer back to my friend C.S. Lewis here, he even believes that when we deal with this in our times, busyness is a form of laziness. And I thought, what does that mean? I mean, how can busy being, because you know how it is. You walk up to somebody and say, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm keeping busy. Well, is that the goal? Is busyness the goal? Some of the best days I had in my dental practice were not the days that I was busy. I actually enjoyed having time and space in my schedule to have a conversation with my patients. So busyness is laziness because you're not paying attention. You don't have a vision of what your day should look like. You're not carving out the time in your schedule. You're rushing around. You're running around. You're busy. And so laziness is also an enemy of Christ's likeness. And I just wanted to give a couple examples. And maybe at your tables you can kick that around and say, well, do I agree with him? Or where in my life do I see obstacles and barriers to growth? So let's talk about the positive. What are the six allies of growth in Christ's likeness? And I borrowed from the topical memory system. I believe on your back page of your little handout there, these are ways we grow in Christ's likeness. Did I put the navigator section there on growing in Christ? Yes, yeah. So I don't have time, for the sake of time, I can't unpack all of those, but you guys maybe have gone through the topical memory system. I highly recommend you looking at these through the lens of these being the allies of growth in Christ's likeness. And so moving along here, I want to move to the next essential pillar of the triad, which is living as an apprentice in God's kingdom. This is what fruitful leaders do. And so for nearly 25 years, as you heard, I was a dentist. But guess what? I just didn't show up and start seeing patients. I was apprenticed by my father-in-law. I actually graduated dental school, and I went into practice with my father-in-law, who had been practicing for 30 years. And it was such a wonderful experience because I could kind of look over his shoulder, see what he was doing. If I had trouble with understanding how to diagnose a case or look at an x-ray at a situation, I had someone there to look over my shoulder. And I have to tell you, the same thing applies to our walking with Jesus moment by moment. We need to do that with other people. We need to have a Paul in our lives, and we need to be apprentices of the master teacher, Christ himself. And so what is a disciple? Let me just get down to the bare basics here. A disciple is someone who's with Jesus, learning to be like him, where we're learning from him how to live our real lives, not just our Sunday morning lives. A disciple is with Jesus in all areas of life. And so it was quite an eye-opener to me when someone said to me, it may have been Joe Stout, he had a great way of making real life come, it was just living into the reality of what it means to be a disciple. He said, you know, Chris, every square inch of your workplace is the kingdom of God. And Christ is already there. We're not bringing Jesus along into our workplace. He's already there. We just need to step in to that because we are living as apprentices of Jesus. We are learners. We're learning from Christ how to live our lives as he would live our lives. And then, so disciples follow Jesus. I have to tell you, I just got back from Israel 2 weeks ago, and Dr. Spann and I had the wonderful opportunity to visit the Holy Land. And there were a couple times Dr. Spann and I had a little trouble. My problem was I was in a hurry and I kind of got ahead of the group. Oftentimes I couldn't wait to see the next thing. So I was pushing forward. And the group would say, hold on, we're still over here. Hold on. And the guy with the flag, the tour guide, would be like, Chris, no, we're over here. A couple times Dr. Spann was happened to be lagging behind the group a little bit. He would be so captivated by, we were in the Holocaust Museum, and he was looking and studying and reading. Well, we only had an hour and 40 minutes. And everyone's like, well, where'd Richard go? And I said, well, I'll find him. So I was moving too far ahead, and he was lagging behind. But you know what? We made it, and we learned so much while we were there. And I thought about that as disciples. We don't want to get ahead of him, and we don't want to lag behind. We want to follow him. We're with him, learning to be like him in every facet of our lives, wherever, whether we're a school teacher or you're working at Dairy Queen. You need to be realizing that you're living as a disciple, as an apprentice in his kingdom, and that every square inch of that Dairy Queen is the kingdom of God. Fruitful leaders rely on God's resources. And so, let me step back here. Disciple leaders seek his direction before moving forward. That's really a key point. Oftentimes we look at whether you're in business or healthcare or whatever you're going into, financial management, you're using spreadsheets a lot and you're trying to figure things out. And there's nothing wrong with taking effort to try to figure things out and strategize and have a plan. But we need to stop and we need to say, Lord, I don't want to get ahead of you, but yet I don't want to lag behind. Would you just guide me into this direction? And so as fruitful leaders, we have the opportunity to rely on his resources. So that's the final one. Fruitful leaders rely on his resources. And if you remember from the topical memory system, relying on God's resources, there were six of them. Is that right? His Spirit, his strength, his faithfulness, his peace, his provision, and his help in temptation. That's what fruitful leaders do. They don't get ahead, they don't fall behind, and they always seek his direction before moving forward, and they draw from his character and his resources. So to wrap this up, I think I'm a couple minutes over. I just want to say I don't know if you guys know who James Brian Smith is, but he's a professor at Friends University. And here's how he would describe a fruitful leader, someone who is holding fast to their identity, they're growing in Christ's likeness, and they're living as an apprentice in God's kingdom. Here's how he would describe it. I'm the one in whom Christ dwells and delights, and I live in the unshakable kingdom of God. So just to conclude this, I just want to say you've heard the triad, but I actually have two more things to go over. We don't have time in my talk, but if you'll do me a quick favor, I assure Jim I'm not selling life insurance, I'm not a realtor, and I'm not like doing any type of affiliate marketing, I promise. I just want to pray for you guys, and if you'll fill out this little form fill, I meet with a team every Thursday morning, and then once a month we meet with a team where we focus on multiplying disciples, and we'd like to pray for this group of people. So if you'll just fill out your name and what is your role at work and where you go to church, if you'll just fill that out, I will also send with you the five principles of fruitful leadership, because I was only able to go over the three. And when you break out into your breakout section, I wanted you to see how we move from just who am I in Christ to how do I then add value to people and then become a disciple maker. And that's what the fourth and fifth one is, and that's what you guys are going to talk about. So I'm just using this as maybe a way to bring this all together for you guys in your breakout sections. So can you help me just have them fill this out? You don't have to do that right this second, but I want to get it from you today, and then we'll pass those out. I'll let you take it from here.
So let's break and go downstairs, grab something to eat.
Thank you.
And then break from there about 5 to 10 and come back here, please. We'll see you back about 10.